This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, for sure. They got primer on the walls in the locker room right now, so they're getting ready to paint something. I don't know what. So it was a little bit brighter in there than usual. Definitely exciting coming in. I mean, really not just rookies. I think everyone had a little bit of nervous energy coming today just because of the stadium feel. And I think, like I said to Courtney, I think that's a good thing and good things to work through before we get going with the preseason games.
We still know him. It's not just somebody that we used to know. I mean, like, it's Cole Kmet.
Ben Johnson said really good things about Cole Kmet over the last few days, and he's in the circle of trust.
Yes.
When it comes to pass catchers on the Bears, he was named, I think, first when asked about it. So
very interesting how that's all going to play out. Luther Burden with quite a performance at practice over the recent days.
I was very impressed with Luther Burden.
At 5 o'clock, Lawrence Holmes' impressions of Bears practice. All kinds of impressions. You're great at impressions.
I've been working on them.
You're like the Rich Little of the Score, pretty much.
I do sneaky good impressions, though.
You actually do. What was one? Oh, you did a McNeil a couple weeks ago. It was like, well, I guess I've retired mine.
Well, we all worked for him. So.
Hey, Chicago! I know, we all sound like that. But yeah, you're pretty good.
Gonna go out to Hammond High, watch him put pads on. Watch footballs be in the air.
That is so good. It sounds like Lawrence was like method acting, smoking for like 3 hours before he does it each time.
He was standing out in front of the Chicago Theater with Jerry Taft having a heater. R.I.P. Jerry Taft.
I got a text, Matt, because there's a great donut. I think it's Munster. There's a great donut place either in Munster or Hammond.
Oh, it's Munster. He used to bring them in for us all the time.
God,
Munster
those are,
donuts.
They're
what was
so
it? Was it
good.
Munster Donuts? Okay. There's another place. There's like Butterfingers. I think it was Butterfingers, I believe, was the name of the bakery.
That might be a trip this weekend. Go on over to Munster, get myself a dozen or something. Share them with people. That sort of thing.
You make friends with donuts. You do. It's good. It's admirable. It's an admirable thing about you.
Yeah.
There was none in the Blackmobile when he gave me a ride that
no,
I was expecting.
No. There will be no food in that car, Speaks.
I was expecting a special donut compartment.
No. There will be no food in that car.
You hit a button on your utility belt. Lawrence has a donut utility belt.
That's the other car. This car, there will be no consumption of any sort of food.
The other car has a donut compartment?
Yep. All right. Hit a little button, and there it is. Open the door, the light come on. That's a deep, deep cut.
Yes,
if you got that reference...
Then get your affairs in order, folks. Good luck, and
it's the truth.
I hope you have your will notarized.
But yeah, I was at Hallis last week, and I'll share some stuff.
Good.
At 5 o'clock.
Good.
But there are other people who have been at Hallis or been watching stuff that's gone on at Hallis, or folks that went to Soldier Field and watched what went on yesterday at practice, and they have some angst.
Look, the thing is, the subtext of all of these practices, and they've now had 10 practices. I believe it's 3 in a row with pads on now, culminating with one.
They gave the guys the day off from pads, and then they were like, we're going. The practice that I was at was the longest one that they had.
Okay. And then, so Sunday was most like a game of any of the other practices so far.
Yeah, so far, but that's going to change Friday with Miami, and then the next week with Buffalo.
All the little other minutiae.
That was Ben Johnson referring to minutia as a minutiae. Because he's too busy to use every syllable of the word minutia.
He's got to do a lot of stuff, man.
That's how busy that man is.
He's got a lot of stuff to do. But Sunday did not go well. The Bears fans that were there were not happy. I saw all sorts of stuff inside of my algorithm. There was the reel of, I don't know what was going on with the accuracy drill. Mm. It kind of felt like Caleb was kind of messing around, and then he kind of stomped off after not getting any of them into the buckets. And then he had a great accuracy drill.
Was Steve-O there with the buckets, by the way?
I don't know, but it kind of seemed like it for sure. And people were like freaking out about that.
Here's the summary for anybody who missed it, because it's a busy weekend and your life is busy.
You're not going to win many games.
You were probably at Lala, or you were at a farmer's market in Woodlawn or Logan Square.
You might have been napping. You might have listened to Hit and Run and then taken a glorious baseball nap.
You've been to that Logan Square farmer's market, right?
Absolutely.
It is.
I go there with cash just like hanging out of my pockets, just waiting for people to take it.
I think Ray is telling us to stop talking about it. He doesn't want more people over there.
It's a good one.
They really could use more people and more congestion over there, especially with that construction on Milwaukee Avenue. Not that it's a major way I used to get around.
No, not that it affects you in
Alex,
your life.
Get the mayor back on. We need to talk to him about that.
We should have had you, the mayor of Worrytown, talk directly to the mayor of Chicago today.
I told Lawrence to run up in there. I'm like, there's another listener up for grabs.
You wanted him to bum rush the interview with his Litzigore award in hand.
Around his neck, like Flavor Flav.
Ask a difficult question and then run out of the studio with his arms raised. Like he's Joe Montana. That's what you wanted him to do.
I just imagine the video guys back there just having like the Collinsworth, like, you know, shift, you know, the pan over, and then there's Lawrence. Yeah. Sliding right into the shot.
Right in with the Litzigore in a circle looking like a clock around his Flavor Flav neck. I like that look. Not that you have a Flavor Flav neck. You know what I'm saying. Anyway.
Skin still looks pretty good. He's a lot older than I am.
Yeah.
And you should have him and Ben hit the Tickle the Ivories.
Who, Flav?
Yeah, Flavor Flav is like a virtuoso.
On the piano?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
We'll find. There's stuff out there of Flavor Flav playing the piano.
So the offense went to the line of scrimmage at Soldier Field 11 times. There were two delay of game penalties. They took one sack. Caleb scrambled twice. There were two completions to DJ Moore and three incompletions, one of which Roma Dunze had to knock away from a defender to hold off an interception. That summary from Brad Biggs' work on Sunday in the trip.
Yeah, it was not good. And how not good was it? Here's what the head coach of the Bears said about it.
Man, it's great to be out there. The weather's incredible. The fans are amazing. I know our guys felt it. We treated it somewhat like our preseason zero game, if you will, by staying downtown last night. Special thank you to George and Kevin and Ryan get that done for us, because the guys certainly, they felt it. You know, we go into next week, our first preseason game. Particularly the young guys, they get amped up a little bit. So hopefully a little familiarity with the process will calm nerves a little bit, and then they can go out and play. But like I said, the fans were there. They were loud. I know our guys are out there right now saying thank you to them for coming. And we got some good work in. It was sloppier than I'm probably hoping we would be at this point. Particularly we had a couple really good practices over the last two, and then took us a little while to get going and hear the pads clicking. But I thought towards the end we picked it up and it got pretty competitive there.
When he says sloppier than probably we were hoping, that's him being disappointed. We haven't heard a whole lot of that. We've heard him being angry every once in a while. And sometimes the anger can feel like it's by design. We've heard him being supportive. We've heard him being confident and proud. We haven't heard him disappointed.
I think Ben Johnson's actually trying all of the different methods with this stuff. I think that when we heard him earlier and it kind of sounded perturbed would be the way that I would describe it, with some of the mistakes, bumbled snaps, delay of game stuff. High school Harry stuff, right?
Well, Poppy's a little sloppy.
Exactly. I think that there was that. And then the backlash to that kind of drove him to, no, everything's okay. Like, everything's good. We've had good practices. Duh, 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 duh. And now we've reached the, I tried the angry thing and I tried the supportive thing. And still things aren't the way that they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah. And that just sounded like genuine disappointment, which concerns me. The actual disappointment concerns me. The pre-snap stuff, the two delays of game, and there would have been another one later on in the sequence. They did call a timeout. But
in the move periods. That's what they call them, the move periods.
Oh, okay. I hope people are watching on Twitch, because that little extra mechanic that you give it makes it feel, I don't know, kind of fun. Right? It feels sort of...
The move period.
Yeah, it feels like it's kind of danceable.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa!
Well, I'll tell you what's not fun is listening to Ben talk about the pre-snap penalties.
Yeah, but it's something we're going to have to address for sure. It showed up more today than it has in practice. So this was more like a real game. And if it continues like that, we're not going to win many games.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, look.
We're not going to win many games.
Oh, hey! That's not fair. That's not fair. He said if there was a big.
What an expert edit. That's so good.
Oh, man. Look, I got to tell you. I got this thing about practice. I've always had it, but it's best exemplified maybe by, you know, a 13-year-old who's working on his piano parts. If it sounds bad in practice, that's okay. Practice is where that's supposed to happen. And maybe you've
heard Ruben
that.
Doesn't know how to watch piano film, okay? So someone's got to tell him this stuff.
Nobody tells him. Nobody tells him at the other house. It's not my fault.
He's just alone watching film.
He's just alone watching piano. Nobody's telling him how to do it. But
he should watch episode 5 of Quarterback.
Probably. But like practice, and it kind of underpins the way I talk about Caleb and this camp. Like, I want him to struggle in practice. I want him to occasionally hold on. I want him to hold on. I'm getting there. I want him to occasionally, you know, if it looks bad, that's okay. Practice is when you're supposed to do that. But at a certain point, I will get concerned. I haven't been concerned. I've been a guy fighting concern actively and not really feeling it. Ben Johnson's disappointment, his full-on disappointment and his concern now has me a little bit concerned. I admit. Now, it's early. It's going to be bumpy. We knew it was going to be bumpy, and it still might be bumpy for a while.
Yeah, and that's okay.
But
I think that's okay. I'm probably more calm than most. When it comes to this,
that's why you're the mayor.
But
sometimes when the denizens get more worried, the mayor has to be mayoral.
Well, it's because having talked to people that are there every day, the feeling is that it might not look right until November. Like, there's a lot that's being asked of Caleb Williams. And that doesn't mean that they won't win games, but it might not look the way that you were promised jetpacks.
Like, we're not going to win many games.
Whoa.
You know what? That's a good point by Ben Johnson. They won't win any games.
No.
I remember when I talked to y'all when I first got here, and I explained to everybody here that this offense, it takes a few years.
No.
I don't think that it'll take a few years.
That is so triggering.
But it is a fundamental change in the type of quarterbacking that Caleb Williams is doing.
Oh, for sure.
And because of that, I want to give him time to get adjusted to it, because there's so much that's being thrown at him. And some of that is by design. Some of that is the idea of they are throwing stuff at him to see what he can and cannot process, both figuratively and literally. They're doing this. The defense is throwing stuff at him on purpose that they might not be doing ordinarily, because they want to see how he's going to react. So
yeah.
I get it.
All of that in a bag of chips, Lawrence, all of that. But this is pre-snap stuff. This is some of the basics that you're supposed to be working on, and we know how important it is, and that's what's disappointing to Ben. And I share in his disappointment. No panic. Still not going to Worry Town. Still not going to go like set up a tent on one of your glorious vacant lots. Mostly because I'm...
I should get the extra bedroom ready for you, all right?
No.
Just make sure that it's...
No.
Okay.
No. I'm still. I'm okay. I'm all right. But little concern. I'm stopping at a rest stop in Concernville. I'm filling up my gas tank in Concernville, and I'm standing there filling up the tank, looking around, going, "It does not feel good here. It just does not."
It's concerning.
Concernville is something ain't right here. I don't know exactly what it is, but
it's the smells mostly.
It's just the vibe.
You can smell the fear.
This place is like somebody's memory of a town, and the memory's fading. It's like there was never anything here but jungle.
Yeah. Stop saying like that.
That was live audio of me and Alex Kuhn filling up the Spiegel and Holmes mobile in Concernville. That's what it sounds like.
Can I play something for you?
Can I share a moment with you? Yes.
That... I wanted to go back over because
we're not going to win many games.
No, not that. You remember when we had, I think, a really good discussion about how last year really didn't mean a whole hell of a lot.
Oh, yeah. Last year was a wasted year in terms of offensive process and strategy for our number one quarterback. Good job, Ryan Poles.
And, you know, I joked about the Infinity War and the speech from Thanos of, you know, if you consider failure experience, then, yeah, that's experience. I just want to make sure that we hold Ben accountable to some of this stuff, because the failure of the other staff is very easy for him to dismiss as not being experiential for Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
The failure inside of his system, though.
Ben, when you're talking about success and trying to find rhythm, especially when you're dealing with sloppiness, what are the markers that you look for that can make you say, this was a successful drive, this was a successful training camp practice?
I think they're all successful from the degree of we're learning. And so just because we're not getting the yards on offense or, you know, giving up touchdowns on defense, I mean, we are getting better as a team on both sides of the ball, all three phases, including I see special teams every day as well. So, I don't think there's any barometer or mark. I think we'll know a lot more about our team when we get these joint practices going too. I think that'll really tell us a lot, because I think for a healthy team over the course of camp, you kind of feel the defense win the day one day, and then the offense bounce back the next day, and you kind of have those even battles. That's what you want from the good teams.
So do you feel like you've caught Ben Johnson in a logical inconsistency?
Yes, but I get it. Like, it's all under what he's doing, so he has control of it. He knows what the markers actually are.
It's the
he didn't know what was going on here before.
It's the stuff that they actually need to know to be good, and it's going to be the same stuff they're doing a year from now.
We hope.
Well, we had,
but I just want to make sure that we don't completely just put grab the pom-poms. Like, we have to, like, listen to some of this stuff for context and whatnot.
I hear you. I understand the thought process, but I disagree that is a logical inconsistency.
Fair enough. That's fine.
No, let's dig into that a little bit more.
We actually don't have time.
I think. Well,
sorry, Lawrence. He's just used to this after working with his former partner the other day. You know, he's used to living in the uncomfortable, setting up shop there. So,
it's totally okay if we disagree.
Oh, no. I need it to be awkward and to stay awkward for a while. Okay.
All right, hold on.
Let's
give everyone some awkward silence. Can we agree on like 3 seconds of awkward silence?
Oh boy, it feels like a lot.
It's a lot.
I know.
Are you ready?
In radio.
We're about to give you 3 seconds of awkward silence of us disagreeing.
Good luck, everybody.
We're not going to win many games.
Oh man, Danny. Danny has found a new toy.
It's a great toy.
It's an edit.
Everyone wants that toy.
It's an unfair edit of a toy.
It's a great toy.
You're doing that score thing. That's what you're doing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
When we come back, let's talk to Big Ant Heron about this, because Big Ant saw one of the better practices for Caleb Williams. We'll get his thoughts on everything Bears next here on the
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gore.
Mullion.
The king of all media, Anthony Heron.
Anthony Heron.
I was saying this to some guys earlier before the show, when I'm glad handing and you know, kissing hands, shaking babies, all that stuff.
Score football analyst.
Jumps off the screen when you watch him on film, and then when you see him in person, it's even more impressive.
Former NFL defensive lineman.
Tripped up at the 20-yard line, Anthony Heron.
An Iowa Hawkeye.
Brady. Could find an open man. He's going to be sacked from behind at the 24-yard line by Anthony Heron. Real tenacious job by Anthony Heron, number 99.
Big Ant Heron.
It was an easy recruitment because he always wanted to be a Duck.
Anthony Heron with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's great to be in the time of year where we can talk to Anthony Herron for no other damn reason than Bears. It's good. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Big Ant, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm excited to talk to you guys. I mean, we've certainly it's Spiegel's time of year, still a little bit, but if, you know, just feel him getting edged out as the baseball season is entering its latter stages, and now we are getting into full Bearsness. We're not going full Bears yet. Yeah, you don't want to go full Bears too early.
Whatever,
but it's going to be there soon.
It was nice talking to you, Ant. I'll see you, man. So no, I'm raging against the dying of the light that is the baseball season. You know that, but we're all living in harmony now for this time. And frankly, the Bears can be an optimistic, a nice little sorbet course.
A little palate cleanser for you.
If you will.
And a moose boost.
Yes. And I will. But here's the thing. Sunday morning at the Family Fest doesn't seem to have been, you know, very sorbet-ish, or not too many people amused by the boosh. So help
That's
us.
That's well played.
Thank you. Help us. Is there anything, where is your concern level? Like, for instance, Lawrence is the mayor of Worrytown. I'm merely stopped at a gas station in Concernville, regretting my choices.
Yeah, even though the mayor of Worrytown, I've told you, like, don't really worry too much about the Caleb stuff.
But it's because you live there. You kind of default is to just already, you're already from there. Where are you in this vicinity, Ant?
My radar's up. I'll definitely say that. You know, I'm not going to say it's a nothing, but, you know, once we get some other teams showing up, we get some preseason games going, then you're certainly going to want results to continue enhancing and improving. You know, it was great to see Lawrence out there at practice the other day, just being out there at Hallis Hall and getting eyes on things in person. And to be able to look, and, you know, folks who are watching, comparing the first offense, second offense, third offense, you know, it seems apparent to me, with understandable reason, the first team offense is being tasked with doing more. But it does still look really methodical as they're breaking the huddle and getting to the line and motioning back and forth. And, you know, there's a lot that Caleb is being tasked with, that the offense is being tasked with. And it's apparently been improving throughout camp. But, you know, you get out there in front of the fans, you get false start after false start or delay a game after delay a game. That's not what you want it looking like at this point. So the somewhat mechanical aspect was the word Lawrence used, and we were talking over there at Hallis the other day, and I think it's a great word for it, because it's not muscle memory yet. But Ben Johnson's task will be to figure out how quickly can he implement the things that this offense is best at and that his quarterback has more closely in line with muscle memory, where he can be more reactionary, because as we saw during Caleb's rookie season and has played out pretty frequently in practice, he's still at his best when he's just being reactionary. And I would say most high-level athletes live in that space where when you're not thinking a lot, you play faster and more freely, and it tended to take a while. You got into the depths of the game before you got the freest version of Caleb Williams last year.
It's such a strange place for Caleb to be, Big Ant, because I look at him, and I'm trying to think of this through the prism of Jared Goff, who I think – Caleb is more physically gifted than Jared Goff. And I know that most people are like, well, obviously, they were both one of one. But I think that the way that Ben asked Jared Goff to play, I'm looking forward to seeing if Caleb can do it, understanding that when a play does fall apart or break down, Caleb's got some of those cool things to his game that could make this offense even more elite than what it was in Detroit. But he still has to master the robotic stuff that Jared Goff was doing.
The mechanics, the mundane associated with consistency at quarterback. And that's where there's still so much growth for Caleb to make. And, you know, the comparison with Jared Goff, not only a guy who's not nearly as sudden and as athletic as Caleb, but then also a guy who's a veteran when Ben Johnson is working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is still a big part of the question, because we haven't seen Ben Johnson call plays for a youngster And I'm not fully in line with the thought that this is just a repeat of Caleb's rookie season. I know, you know, Ben Johnson has certainly alluded to that as getting some questions from the media about it lately. I'm not all the way there with that. I think it's incumbent upon Ben Johnson to make sure that what he learned in going back and reviewing Caleb's rookie season, that he's putting Caleb Williams in a position to accentuate some of those positives. And it's incumbent upon Caleb to make sure that this just isn't a full-on rookie season for him as well, because he did start a full season in the National Football League. He did evaluate all those defenses on a weekly basis and process what was going on across from him with every team in this division. So you can't have this be where you're starting from square one if you're Caleb or if you're Ben. So what was there on film? What were those positives from the rookie season that they can sort of catapult him into year two with, and not just have him be this robotic guy? Because one of the things we were all really excited about when Ben Johnson got hired and when we sort of started to dig into things was that this wasn't supposed to just be him fitting Caleb into exactly what Jared Goff was doing, exactly what the Lions offense was. And so part of his task is to take all the negatives, but also the positives that he's experiencing on a daily basis with Caleb Williams, and put this offense in a position where they could be at their best.
Our friend and colleague Anthony Herron is with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. All right, up front, how do you feel about the new look Big Uglies with all those veteran acquisitions in the middle and maybe Ozzie Trapillo at left tackle? We'll see who gets the eventual start, but how has it looked to you?
There's a lot to be excited about. I mean, there's competence at least four of the five spots, and I would say certainly the potential for competence at all five spots up front. But, you know, high-level play is certainly available to you at center and both guards and at right tackle and at left tackle. You know, certainly the left tackle is the highest value position up front on the O-line. But Braxton Jones has been more than passable during his career. I certainly hope for an upgrade going into the draft. I thought there were, you know, some of the players who could have provided that for them. I don't know that they definitively did that with Ozzie Trapillo, but you do have your former starter at left tackle who's in this process of trying to return from an injury in a contract year. You have at least expended some draft capital there between, you know, Trapillo and having, you know, Amagaji gets those reps there also. The Braxton Jones injury is really bad for Braxton Jones, but it does allow the evaluation opportunity that the Bears have been fully trying to capitalize on. But until further notice, I'm still going to assume that Braxton Jones is going to start game one at left tackle. That's just my sort of old school dinosaur mentality of, if you have a guy who you've seen play quality football there, yeah, I mean, you know, certainly the ups and downs, and he's no perennial Pro Bowler or anything like that. But Braxton Jones has played winning football at left tackle. To me, that's the comfortable way to begin the season, unless, you know, until proven otherwise, if Ozzie Trapillo gets into these preseason games and gets into these joint practices and is just locking folks down, he may just answer the question for him. But I'm not there with Trapillo yet.
So I'm seeing a lot of trade rumors about Braxton Jones, because it's the kind of thing that people in other markets, when they hate their left tackle situations, yeah, will look around the league. And Lawrence, I see you shook your head at when Anthony said, I'm not there yet with Trapillo, because maybe some people are there.
I shaking my head, because that's a player being like, yeah, that guy shouldn't lose his job. And he's probably the better choice to start things off initially. I think that they would very much like for Ozzie Trapillo to win that job.
So do they trade Braxton Jones?
I don't think they would do that. I think that would be silly.
Even late in camp as it goes along?
I think that you need as many good tackles as possible.
As many good linemen,
yes,
as possible. So you start game one with Ozzie Trapillo. Well, two things. One, Who's this imaginary team trading for an injured Braxton Jones anyway?
Steelers.
But even if we live in this world where someone wants to trade for Braxton Jones and the Bears are able to, you know, get, I don't know, some late round draft pick back for him or something like that, yeah, it's I suppose a win from an acquisition perspective for the Bears. But then you got Ozzie Trapillo as your starting left tackle. Even if he's healthy, what if people just get a little film on him in the first couple of weeks of the season and he starts getting, you know, tea kettled?
What if he's a little too upright, which is one of the questions about him, because he is a large man. Yeah. What if he doesn't have good bend? Like, there's a lot of stuff that we'll probably have a better sense of in these practices. And that's kind of one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Ann, is like, I want to know, I want to flip it over a little bit to the defensive side because we don't spend enough time talking about it. Mm-hmm. When you're watching defensive line play, and I get it, guys are padded, but they're going up against their teammates and they can't finish yeah. at the quarterback. So what do you watch and what do you want to see when you're watching the Bears defensive line practice?
One thing that was just fun for me looking at in person, especially at what now 32 years old, I think Grady Jarrett is, but there's still a lot of energy there. There's a lot of juice just to how he carries himself, even on the practice field, let alone what it's going to be like when there's an opponent who shows up or when they're actually out there in a game together. And that's just not something that's been there the last few years with the Bears D-line. Just somebody who's really going to be an attitude guy, a tempo setter, somebody who plays with a little bit of that extra edge, that extra heartbeat. And at 30-plus, even though Grady Jarrett is diminutive in stature, that stands out. The Bears got some big dudes on that D-line, and Grady Jarrett is not amongst them. But to last as long as he's lasted in the league at that position, playing on the interior of the D-line predominantly, and to do it at, like, I don't know, supposedly 6 foot tall? And he looks even smaller when he's standing next to a lot of these guys.
You know what? I'll just say what you said. When I walked over there, he goes, Grady Jarrett isn't taller than Lawrence. I'm like, okay, all right. I don't know if that's insulting Grady Jarrett or me or both.
You.
But that is not a lot of bad.
But then I was like, you know what?
It's just being real. That's all.
You're right.
I just love. I love the idea that we got a 32-year-old energy guy. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yes, yes. And you want that. You want the guys to be able to feed off of that. To be able to feed off of just the temperament that he attacks things with on a regular basis. To be able to play with leverage and life and energy. And you know, one of the guys who works with the Bears defense, Bill Johnson, he was my old D-line coach in Atlanta with the Falcons, and he's all about pad level and hand placement and energy. And
Noah!
Grady Jarrett isn't built like, you know, sort of every other great defensive lineman who's been on Dennis Allen's defenses. He tends to be a guy who's looking for longer athletes out there. And Grady Jarrett doesn't suit that, but Bill Johnson is one of these guys who has worked around diminutive defensive linemen before with some of the better defenses that he's been with. So I just love the life that he still very obviously has in his demeanor. Now, we'll see if it holds up in his body throughout the season, but that's where having more, at least having signed more perceived depth on each line of scrimmage should make the O-line hold up better throughout the season, should make this D-line with a rotation going hold up better throughout the year, where a guy like Grady Jarrett, if he's not playing 50 snaps a game throughout the year, but you're getting a really energetic 30-plus snaps on a weekly basis from a guy who's on the other side of 30, there's still some life in those legs.
Anybody can get it, man. We ready.
Absolutely anybody can get it. I'm familiar with being knocked down ass over tea kettle.
Okay.
I am not familiar with getting tea kettled as a football verb.
It's a football verb.
I enjoyed the hell out of that. Please paint us the visual picture of how Ozzie Trapillo or someone else could be getting repeatedly tea kettled.
Well, because he is a long, angular guy as an offensive tackle, if you get some of these great power rushers coming off the edge, and they don't have to be hulking guys. You don't need somebody who's 300 pounds to have an exceptional power rush. Think about the time Khalil Mack spent rushing the edge with the Bears here in Chicago, and how many angular offensive tackles we saw him run over, because you get momentum going, you start to turn the corner, you get them to drop that outside foot, and then you get under their pads, right into their sternum with some leverage, and you start to lift that guy off the ground. I don't know how frequently Ozzie Trapillo has felt that yet. The day I was there, they didn't do full one-on-one pass rush, you know, in a pass protection drill. They did a lot of run blocking. There was several live periods throughout the practice. So overall, it was a physical day. But I would have been eager to see some one-on-one pass rush with Trapillo trying to block the guys like, you know, Montez Sweat, who's got an exceptional power rush. Even, you know, a guy who I know some folks are really curious about, in Dio Odangbo. But he is a guy who's got a pretty good power rush, you know, off either edge. And I'll be curious to see how frequently they flop Sweat and Odangbo, you know, off either corner, because both guys are capable of playing inside, but Odangbo has done it more frequently to rush over the guard throughout his career. So do you get the ability to get Montez Sweat moving from left edge to right edge a little more often than we've seen throughout his Bears career so far? But to see Ozzie Tripillo matched up with that, with guys who have length and power at a level that he rarely, if ever, had to face in college, that's where now that we're going to see some opponents facing the Bears, we'll get a more detailed look at that.
Big Ant, as always, we appreciate the time and the expertise. Thanks for joining us.
All right, do it again soon, fellas.
Absolutely. That's Big Ant Heron.
Yeah, I would not want to be tea-kettled by that man.
No, I mean, he made a living out of it.
I know.
Like, Iowa, he was out here just...
I am also not necessarily angular. That's not what how you describe me when I set up to block and protect the edge.
When you were working with the Sequoias.
Thank you very much. The mighty Sequoias, Lawrence. Thanks for finally being a partner that respects my football background. I was a center and a nose tackle and a play caller and a self-proclaimed team captain for 4 years.
Okay.
Rock'em sock'em intramural flag football at Emerson College. And it was flackle. You know what I mean? Like, there was flags involved, but there was a lot of flackling going on when you went to grab somebody. And some real physicality.
You should have told an RA about that.
They didn't care.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't care. So, I had a good base. I was renowned for my excellent base.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. But it helps.
Still not angular at the time.
Still. Hey, whatever it takes.
Thank you.
Neither is Grady Jarrett. See? See how it all works?
You brought it all back around.
When we come back, Spiegs went on a little bit of a baseball trip because he was tired of all the Lala kids around. He'll explain where he went and why next on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Four.
Hey, where is Spiggs?
I'm going to South Bend.
Now's not the time.
If I don't go now, I'll never be any good for you or for me or anybody.
We'll talk about Rudy Spiegel in just a minute. Keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs versus Pittsburgh at Wrigley Field on August 17th. It's all powered by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. Be caller 6 to 312-540-0670 when you hear this.
Cubs win the ball game. Justin Turner with a game-winning home run.
So keep listening, and we're going to give you some tickets.
Lawrence decided to take a little road trip with the lady on Saturday, and we drove 90 minutes from downtown to South Bend to see the South Bend Cubs.
It's starting to seem like you're, instead of a resident of Chicago, you're becoming a resident of Indiana.
Yeah, that is the second time within like a month that I had a good time there, not too far from the St. Joe's River.
Yeah, you're out there in Goshen.
Now you're
in South Bend.
Now I'm in South Bend. And I got to tell you, man, that park, that was a delightful minor league baseball experience.
He's an Indiana boy.
I mean, this weekend
he's got one for everything.
It's an older ballpark, but they've made a tremendous amount of improvements and investments with more to come. And have like built up the area around, and there's so much for the kids to do. Like for Tanny, I was thinking, I wish I'd taken Rue there when he was younger, and you would feel the same about Juju. $7, and there's like 5 different inflatables that the kids can use all night long. And it's like, you're watching a ball game.
It's pretty great. Like, when they don't really care, like, the level of play, when they're still a little young to really care about that, like, minor league park experiences are awesome.
Oh.
I just got Pit Spitters playoff tickets up in Traverse City for, like $16, and you're right behind home plate.
That's what I'm saying.
It's insane.
These tickets, like, the tickets were unbelievably cheap. But, like, it was such a cool experience, and we got a little tour because I knew the president of the team, so he gave me a little tour. And I learned so much amazing stuff about like when Theo and Jason McLeod decided to make South Bend a Cubs affiliate, all the conversations they had, Lawrence, about this is the way we need to do things in the minor leagues. Are you willing to change this? Are you willing to change that?
And did you name drop speaks? Like, well, I remember when Theo gave me the tour of the facilities in Arizona, he told me something similar.
Not only did I do that.
You gotta, because how often does that come up?
But Christine called me out for it. afterwards. She's like, really? You had to do that? You had to like get into a measuring contest talking about, I'm like, no, I'm just trying to relate. I'm just trying to relate to the man. That's all. But yes, I learned so much about the baseball part of it, which was fun. But then like the whole thing was cool. Like you see their performance center and there's pictures of like Matt Shaw came through there and Ian Happ came through there and PCA came through there. PCA won a title in South Bend. And now on the roster, Lawrence, there are three kids of note. Reginald Preciado, I'm like, why do I know that name? He came over in the Yu Darvish trade.
Oh, yeah.
And he's never made it higher than Class A. I don't think he's going to pan out. But there was another one. Rafael Morel. Yes.
That's Christopher's brother?
Christopher's little brother. Little baby brother Morel is on the South Bend Cubs. And then Christian Hernandez is the shortstop who they paid a lot of money for in international scouting a couple years ago, and he's doing pretty well down there.
Do you allow yourself to just be in those moments?
100%. As much as I possibly can. It was a beautiful night, just sitting in a ballpark with good food, watching a ball game, and it was adorable. Like, somebody swung and missed, and the sound effect was, like the Simpsons. At one point, there's a foul ball, and there's a sound of breaking glass, and then some local glass company has an advertisement.
Oh, that's great.
Right? Like, all that little stuff. There were these inflatable things called the Superstars that were there. Just like these inflatable. Derek Cheetah was one of them. Mike Rainbow Trout came out and flopped around for a while. Harry Canary. Christine got a picture with Harry Canary.
That's who that was.
But like, yes, it was a lovely minor league baseball experience, 90 minutes from downtown, and we had an absolute blast.
I'm glad that you had that. Like, it's so nice when you get those moments and you're like,
yeah,
this is all right.
There was a dude who was like, oh my God, Spiegs, what are you doing here on a Saturday night? I'm like, why would I not be here on a Saturday night? It's like, we live in Chicago. We got options all around. That's a quick, easy trip.
And it wasn't a bad weekend to leave the city.
It was a little nuts.
If you had an opportunity to go to Northwest Indiana or Southwestern Michigan to watch it, if you had an opportunity to do that, it was a good call.
It called in Southwestern Michigan?
No, that's one of the cities for Four Winds Casino. Dowagic.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I've been there. Like that. There's a lake there.
Yeah.
Is it Lake Dowagic?
I don't know. Okay. Probably. Sure.
So let's go with that.
Let's say that's the way that goes. But or if you just wanted to escape to Milwaukee this weekend, not a bad weekend to do it.
Whatever you need. But like sometimes, man, baseball is just baseball, and it was kind of divorced from the trade deadline.
And consequences.
Divorced from the consequences. Yeah. Divorced from the commerce of everything. And like, are they good enough or not good enough? Why is one team keeping Luis Robert? Why is the other team not adding a frontline starter? Like, it was divorced from all of that.
We'll have some Sox conversation at 425, the meaty kind. But when we come back, the mayor was on these airwaves today. And he had some updates on some stadium stuff for pretty much every team. We'll break it down and explain next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.